Hi, and welcome to Moves That Matter. I'm your host, Dr. Clive Posley, and we are glad to have you with us once again this Tuesday night at 7:30. I am excited about this show because it is, first of all, part two of a fantastic show we brought to you on last week. But I'm also excited about this show because we're going to get into more of the specific research and technicalities relative to the expertise that these beautiful doctors have come to share with us today. So I'm not going to format our show as I traditionally format our show. I'm not going to do our introduction. My introduction is going to be to get right into the information that these doctors have researched and prepared to bring to us today. I do want to say this. Our show topic centers around why we as African Americans do not go to the doctor, why we don't engage in more preventative health care and maintenance for the temples that God has given us the privilege to steward. And so I'm going to open up by talking to Dr. Benson here, and she's going to briefly reintroduce herself for our audience who may not have been last week. And in her brief introduction, she's going to slide right into her field of work. She has her own practice, but she'll introduce that to us, and she'll help us be better at our own health by the time she's done. Dr. Benson.
Thank you. So again, I'm Dr. Heather Benson. I am an OBGYN, and so I wanted to talk with you briefly just about some important things that everyone should do. First thing, go to your OBGYN, and please, please, please get your pap smears. Mm-hmm. What should be coming up on the screen now is the recommendations for screening for pap smears. So if you are under 21, you do not need a pap smear. Once you turn 21 years old, from 21 to 29 years old, you should be getting a pap smear every 3 years. When you are 30 all the way till you are 65 years old, you should get a pap smear plus HPV testing every 5 years. Now, once you exceed 65 years old, things can change a little. If you don't have a history of any cervical cancer or any cervical abnormalities, then you can stop having pap smears. If you've had 3 negative pap smears in a row, again, you don't need to get pap smears after you're 65. Or if you've had 2 negative co-testing, so that's if you've had your HPV testing plus your pap smear, then you are good to not have any further testing after the age of 65. However, there is a caveat to that. If you've had any history of HIV, any history of being immunosuppressed, whether you have another disorder, whether it's like lupus or other things that depress your immune system, or if you have a history of cervical cancer, then those screening guidelines can be different. So please go to your OBGYN to discuss that in further detail. If you have ever been vaccinated against HPV, which is something that we're trying to encourage much more, it's important that you still get your pap smears. If you had a hysterectomy and the indication was that your cervix was left for whatever reason, then you still need to have pap smears, because the idea is that you're trying to identify an abnormal cell or some type of abnormality on your cervix before it turns into anything dangerous like cancer. Now, granted, this can take time. The change from abnormal cells to the development of cancer can occur over many years, but if you're not routinely getting screened, then that may come quicker for you as opposed to if you continue to have your regular screening, as I mentioned. So that's a really big thing. The other thing is, if you are pregnant, it's very, very important that you go to your OBGYN. Even if you're not pregnant, actually, every woman of childbearing age should be on a prenatal vitamin. Mm. If you have had your period, then you are able to start prenatal vitamins. And the idea behind that is that when and if you do become pregnant, your body will already be prepared for the pregnancy. It Wow. basically can help to increase your body's ability to carry a healthy pregnancy. Many women do not know that, and that is something that I tried to tell all of my patients. I tell my friends here, and I'm like, tell all of your friends. If you have childbearing age, you should be on a prenatal vitamin. Lastly, I wanted to just talk about breast cancer. Well, my friends will talk about breast cancer, but I wanted to talk about appropriate screening. So now what should come up on your screen is the appropriate guidelines for breast cancer screening. Mm-hmm. So everyone should have a clinical breast exam offered every 1 to 3 years for any woman that's 25 years old to 39 years old. Once you hit 40, then you should be having screening with these clinical breast exams done annually at 40 and over again. A lot of people ask the question, when should I start getting a mammogram? Many different organizations have different recommendations. The organization that we typically go by, which is the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology, recommend that you do your mammogram should start at 40 and then continue after that annually. And then you can stop doing mammogram screening when you hit 75 years old. But that will be a shared decision that you will make with your obstetrician and gynecologist when you go and visit them in the clinic. Mm-hmm. Some of the important risk factors to look at with breast health are in terms of breast cancer, which my colleagues will talk about. If you have a family history of breast cancer, then that definitely increases your risk. If you have a higher BMI, so we were talking about obesity in last week's show, that also increases your risk. If you smoke, use alcohol, those things increase your risk. If you have denser breasts, then you just may need to get evaluated more frequently. And then if you use menopausal, if you've had late menopause or you had your period start early, you're exposed to estrogen for a longer period of time, that can increase your risk. Or if you're on any hormone replacement therapy, that's something that you should definitely see your physician to be evaluated for, to check for that. And with that, I'll turn it over to my colleagues that will talk about breast cancer from a research perspective.
So I'm Dr. Ann Kimball Hill, and I also am at Indiana University School of Medicine. And in my research as assistant research professor in biochemistry, I look more at the risk factors that cause the incidence of breast cancers, particularly the health disparities angles, why Black women get breast cancer that's more virulent, and also about the metastasis angle of breast cancer. So the most important thing, we're talking about breast health, and you'll see this on the slide, is that white women and Black women actually have the same incidence rates of breast cancer. The problem is that oftentimes we don't get checked, like Dr. Benson said, mm-hmm. as frequently or as early. So that goes back to the screening aspects. But also, we oftentimes get triple negative breast cancer mm-hmm. Versus some of the other types, which are more hormonal responsive cancers, or more about the growth factors. Normally we talk about HER2 positive breast mm-hmm. cancer. Triple negative breast cancer, there have been some advances in it, but oftentimes with Black women, we oftentimes have an onset at a much earlier age, so around mm-hmm. 40. And oftentimes if you have incidence of breast cancer when you're in your 40s, you have a higher rate of return, reoccurrence, mm-hmm. And the metastasis risks are higher. Mm-hmm. So that is why we really encourage our Black women to think about your history, your family history, so mm-hmm. that you can make appropriate planning. Oftentimes they tell you if your family history is like in your 40s and you want to start like getting your screening 5 years earlier than that, so that you can have a track record of how you're progressing mm-hmm. And so, making sure you're preventing.
Let me ask this. So are Caucasian women getting screened sooner?
No. They're not. They're just tending to follow the guidelines more frequently.
They're following the guidelines more frequently, mm-hmm. and therefore they're getting better results in terms of treatment.
That's mm-hmm. correct. The other aspect of that is the actual treatment part. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes, they go ahead and just follow the regimen just as prescribed mm-hmm. by their physicians.
More often than
than Black women.
Right.
Would.
Compliant.
So we tend not to be as compliant. We'll take more time to think and ponder mm-hmm. what our choices mm-hmm. are. Mm-hmm. And especially if you are being staged, you know, much farther along the track, you have to actually be much more vigilant and on top of the regimen that's being prescribed.
This is some valuable information.
Yeah. So we just have to be much more conscientious mm-hmm. of our family history. Oftentimes we don't like to talk about our family history because these are our private parts is what we kind of say a lot of times. But as women, we have to be more mindful and encouraging of our family to really talk about what our breast health history is.
Right.
And really share, because there's also a lot of tests that are coming out that we could be looking to test in a family to make sure that there's not a genetic component mm-hmm. to this family history
that we
can be paying attention to. Because
those you can get that testing early.
You can get that testing early.
Right, right.
So, for example, like your BRCA, but that's not as typical in the Black community. Mm-hmm. But there are some genetic components to like more of your HER2 cancers. Mm-hmm. But it's very important that you also ask the questions about what type of breast cancer you have, because mm-hmm. that is very directly linked to the appropriate types of medication and care for the treatment plan. of your cancer. Some of the other things that we know play a big role in why we have a higher incidence of some of these cancers are other factors like having diabetes. Our stress levels are very directly linked to inflammation, and prolonged inflammation is linked to having a higher incidence rate of breast cancer.
Say that again.
Stress. Continued stress creates inflammation, mm-hmm. and prolonged inflammation increases your risk for breast cancer.
Wow.
So one of the things that was briefly mentioned was even having enough sleep so that your body can regenerate. That's a really important part of reducing your inflammation levels. Mm-hmm. Something that Dr. Hardy can talk a lot more about is about how our diet, the foods that we choose, like mm-hmm. your fried foods, it increases your inflammation level of your body and therefore increases your risk of cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll turn it over to Dr. Hardy then.
So something that Dr. Kimball Hill mentioned was that African Americans and Caucasians now have the same incidence of breast cancer, but where it varies is that Black women are still more likely to die from the disease. And so breast cancer is now affecting one out of every eight women. And so in thinking about this in the African American community, I found my first lump when I was 22. It was not cancer, but I want to reiterate the thought of doing those self-examinations very early on. And you can do that on your own in the shower. All you have to do is go around with a towel or use your fingers to see if there is a palpable lump. If there is, then go get it checked out. I was very early at getting mammograms because of that. And
Dr. Hardy, if I can interrupt you just for a second,
sure.
And get you back into your flow.
Yeah.
You said go get it checked out. What does that look like? They find that lump.
And you go to your gynecologist.
Okay.
You go to your primary care.
You call Dr. Benson.
Call Dr. Benson. You say, Dr. Benson, I need an appointment.
I found this lump.
I want you to check this out. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're younger, they may not be able to do a mammogram, but they could do an ultrasound. And they can definitely find out whether or not that lump is cancer. Mm-hmm. But finding out has some value to it as well, mm-hmm. definitely. And Dr. Kimball Hill mentioned the diet and how that relates to things. We know that obesity has is related to so many diseases. Everything from sleep apnea to cancer to stroke, lung disease, heart disease, and there's a slide that's up that kind of puts out some of these: pancreatitis, arthritis, even gout. Obesity has something to do with that.
That's
so
right.
I'm not saying cut out every fried food, everything that you mm-hmm. love, but do that in moderation, okay? Incorporate these.
What does moderation look like, for example?
You know, So what I will say is for me, moderation is a lot more moderate than it may be for Dr. Benson.
I'm a healthy, robust guy.
Exactly.
So you're saying change what I may use to fry or don't deep fry.
I'm saying go to the air fryer.
Right. Go to the air fryer. Okay. That's where I'm going. Absolutely. That's what I mean.
The other part of that was, you know, going to get fast food used to be a treat.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And now it's an everyday meal.
That's
true.
We have
that's
to
right.
change
yeah.
that.
That's right. Now it's a trick.
Because, you know, for me, it was like, you know, when I was a kid, I didn't like to get shots. So my mom used, you can go get some Burger King's or McDonald's afterwards, and I took my shots. But, you know, now it's like, well, I don't have enough time to make dinner.
I'm gonna run Popeyes and get this two-piece.
Right. Exactly. Right.
Convenience is killing us slowly.
Absolutely. And so, of course, those fried foods can cause us to have higher cholesterol, and just everything that we know research-wise tells us that that slows us down in a cellular and a molecular level. Mm-hmm. It slows us down. Just continuing to kind of think about incorporating healthier habits. Eat fruit versus getting that bag of chips. Buy some carrots, veggies, grapes. Incorporate those into your diet more. Take the time to get the necessary 8 hours of sleep. I never get 8 hours of sleep, but I try. So exactly 6 hours of sleep and whatever you can do, right? A full sleep cycle. Take the time to do exercises, even if it's just getting up from your desk and taking a walk every few minutes, or taking a walk once in an hour. Take the time to do that.
That is, you ladies, wow. I don't think anyone listening could deny that this information is valuable. I want to bring up, take a bit of a turn, and it's going to have to do with health care, insurance, and as one of the potential factors as to why African-Americans do not participate more, because we, as you ladies know, statistics say we fall down low on the totem pole of having adequate health care. Mm-hmm. So the last question I kind of want to throw at each of you, and then I'll kind of close things out because this has been a valuable show, is can you talk about what you see in your areas of research and in your practice, Dr. Benson, some of the pitfalls that taking away affordable health care is causing in the African-American culture? I will let any of you who would like to begin to start, just take a couple minutes and kind of talk about that, because that's one of the factors that keeps our people from. Let's start with you, Ms. Harding.
So what I'm going to say is vote, okay? It is so important that you get out there and you vote. I don't care if it's for dog catcher, if it's for comptroller, and know where these people stand on these issues, because it really does affect our daily life. So make sure.
Is a vote. You're casting your vote, it sounds like right. You're saying, is also voting for better health opportunities
for
you.
It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. So make sure that you're voting for people who have like-minded thoughts around health care, around funding, and making sure that these health initiatives are funded properly.
And for better research,
right. Absolutely.
I think that's something important to bring up, because most people don't realize that most of our research is funded federally.
I do. That's why I threw it in there.
Federally funded.
So people like me who are interested in helping to better our approach towards breast cancer, particularly for our community, and mind you, one of a very few of us that are in this field, it means we need governmental funding to be directed towards our research.
I'm going to say this real quick and get back to you. It's amazing how I was told when I was doing research years ago that it's amazing how the research dollars tend to flow toward cultures and seem to be unlimited. You all know where I'm going.
Yes,
but
absolutely.
When it comes to cultures of disparity, the research dollars seems to be tightened. And things are cut, like with education. First thing that this administration cut was education for special education kids, all these things like that. Go ahead, please finish, and then we'll go to Ms. Benson.
Oh, I think, and along those lines, even when you're talking about educating our diverse population, so that we can go into fields like becoming a doctor, like Dr. Benson did, for you practicing as a physician, or becoming on the research side, like Dr. Hardy and I did, that money was also cut. So those programs are being diminished, and so you need to vote so that we make
sure this current administration.
Under this current administration.
See, audience, I want you to hear this, because some people think I'm just always at Trump. No, I am a philosopher. I've long tried to be in the theologian. I'm political as well. This is not an attack on Donald Trump as much as it is us talking about the issues that affect our community.
That's right.
Cannot do research. We cannot inform you. We cannot help you know what you need to understand about yourself if those dollars that are free for most cultures are not free for us.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's right.
Dr. Benson, close us out with your thoughts.
You guys have said it all. I think, in closing, it's really the same thing I started with is, we have to advocate more for ourselves, more for our community, to make a change. If we don't stand up and say it's a problem, then no one else cares that it's a problem. And so I just encourage everyone, as my colleagues have all said, get involved, go write a letter to your local senator, do those things. They make a difference. If you want to see change, be the change.
Absolutely. Let me take this opportunity to thank each of you, Dr. Hardy, Dr. Benson, Dr. Kimball Hill. I have not had a more important show in my heart. This matters. And I've talked about some significant things, I think. I like to think I have anyway. But this matters, because without our health, we just don't have the longevity to do the things that the Lord has blessed our minds to understand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I want that for all of our people. Thank you. I'm going to try to have you guys back very soon. If I have to have you back one at a time, you are now friends with the Moves That Matter show. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you all for watching. We really appreciate your time spent. I know that you're blessed from what has been said. I want to make a special appeal, though. Please watch this more than once. It's just about 22 or 23 minutes. Watch it more than once. Think about if your mom is still living, or if your father's living, or if you're married, or if you're dating someone, or your children, and you want them to have as healthy a life as they could possibly have. Think about what these well-trained, well-educated PhDs have said about your health. These are people who look like you, who understand what Thanksgiving means to the culture, who understands what the 4th of July barbecue means, but they also understand that we have a responsibility to God to steward ourselves. Pay attention to what was said today. Hey, listen, I've been your host, Dr. Clyde Posley. And as always, I tell you, you're always making moves that matter. This show was about you making healthy ones. Because when you make moves that matter, you make matters matter to everybody and not just you. God bless you. I'll see you next week. And thank you for watching. Bye-bye.